much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yeah, this is the place, man.
It most certainly is, my friend.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Long time listener here. Love Kevin, love Dean, love Allie, even Beer Mug. But seriously, guys, the Armenian comedian. No more Armenian comedian.
You are way behind your mind. Come on, wake up.
I ended up in a fight with a bear, and I had to think to myself, why am I even here?
Wait a minute, you fought a bear?
Big time. The trick on that, headbutt him in the penis, push him over a cliff.
I bet that works with a lot of animals.
Only the male ones. Learned that the hard way. Mm. Anyway,
we have Allison Brie here.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, we must have lost the connection.
And now.
I think we're on the same page. That was just a little too definitive for not to hurt my feelings.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 27th of August.
What's up, kids?
Chilling.
Chilling like a villain.
How's everybody's weekend?
Good.
Good.
You?
Did you Galaxy? Is that what I saw, Kevin?
Yeah, Friday night.
Is this the Galaxy LAFC?
Yeah.
That's become quite the rivalry.
Yes, it has. It's a lot harder to get tickets than I realized.
Oh, no.
And but it was in the Galaxy
Home It was, Stadium. The StubHub, yeah.
Yeah, so overwhelming crowd favorites.
Yeah. It was good fun. Ended in a tie, unfortunately, but it was good
that's
fun.
That's what you love about
that's
soccer?
That's what you want. You want that tie.
I mean, I'm trying to love you, soccer. You're making it so hard.
Here's the thing, though. If you're not going to have a tie, then you either have to keep playing another 20 minutes, which people are going to start getting injured, or you have to go to a shootout, which sucks. It's like the NBA taking a three-point contest to see who wins. You know,
but at least somebody wins.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, I don't think there is an answer
yet.
If
you were the commissioner of MLS, what would you do? You just stick with ties?
I mean, for the time being, yeah. When it gets into playoffs, they don't stick with ties. But for now, they do. You get a point.
Oh, sure. Hear me out.
Yes.
Okay.
Whoever does the most charitable work that week.
Oh.
You get a point.
Just a week?
Yeah. Well, it's for each individual week.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Like, one player would be like, oh, no, I fed the homeless. And another one's like, I painted old lady's nails. Boom! You win. Right? And then the whole area wins.
I think that would be kind of hard to quantify, though. And then you could just see people arguing out.
I just told you, old lady's nails beat homeless.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
what?
I'm just saying. I think that would be too
subjective. I think that's a solid plan.
Do you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I haven't really gone through it as much as I would have liked to before I said it on air.
It
but
would totally work.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Well, I had a weird thing happen to me. I was on a plane over the weekend. Don't ask why or where. God, why are there so many questions? This never happens, but you know how when you sit down and you see the other people getting on the plane, let's be honest, it's not just me, it's everybody. You're hoping or not hoping that person sits next to you, right?
Sure.
Please
mostly.
No, please no, please no, please no, please no. Okay.
Yeah. Mostly, please don't.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the hottest woman on the plane.
Oh, no.
Sat next to me.
Oh, no.
The hottest woman on the plane.
Oh, she must have been tortured.
Maybe hottest woman in the airport.
Oh, no.
Sat next to me on the plane.
Mm.
Did you know that planes were created in 1900? I don't know what the facts are, but.
And she was playing it very cool. I mean,
was she?
She was into me, obviously, but she was playing it so cool. And I was thinking, at what point is she going to make her move? You know what I mean? Because she's sitting next to me. At some point, she's going to want to, you know, casually start chatting and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. That's bullshit.
But she, pretended she wasn't looking, and she was just reading her, Kindle, and she had her hoodie on, and
sure.
She was all bundled up, and she was turned away from me in the seat, which I thought was a very strong move to make it appear as if she weren't interested. And then I thought when the little, breakfast came out, when they brought out their little fruit and whatnot, I thought, well, now's the time she'll put her book down, and she'll casually start making conversation. Oh, food's pretty good, right? And then that's her in,
right.
What I mean? Not a word. I'm thinking, man, is she – what a poker face.
Right?
Yeah.
Seriously, just pretending she doesn't feel the sexual heat that's happening here between us.
I can't anymore. I mean, we've let you do this for a good 2 minutes.
You just lost us all right there.
And then I thought, Oh, man. I mean, the Kindle thing is a distraction so that we can't tell she's blind, obviously. This woman is blind. She can't even see.
What?
Well, she must be. Because she's sitting right next to me, not a word.
I see. So if she can see, then she would be able to know what an Adonis you are.
Exactly.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
But I have to give her credit, man. She really played it so cool because when we got up to get off the plane, not a word, not a look back, not a wink, didn't slide me a phone number. I mean, so she's definitely into me.
Mm-hmm. Now,
playing kind of hard
on.
To get.
Hold on, just a second. How do you know she's into you?
Oh, I am world class at reading women. You know that.
Sure.
I'm excellent. I'm a mind reader.
Sure.
When it comes to the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I give her credit for the way she played it because you know what she did? She left. She didn't come on too strong. She left this audience member wanting more. So now, however, I don't know what her plan is, how she plans to get back in touch again.
Can
but
I
when
have
she...
less?
Huh?
I said, can I have less?
When she does, though, I think it's going to be a beautiful.
When she does what? Get back in touch with somebody who she doesn't know who it was?
Well, yeah. I mean, she committed me to memory somehow, and she's going to do the research, and she's going to track me down now. And then she's going to say, I had you. Thought I didn't notice. Thought I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Boom.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
No. I'm just saying. I felt like that's what happened.
Right.
I felt like that's what happened.
Well, I'm sure you do.
All right. Now, I'm not even kidding here when I say I don't think we have time for the thing. Because, look, it's already 5:42.
We don't have time for the thing this time.
Finally.
Well, you went on way too long with that nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to fill you in on my weekend.
Right.
All right, I'll save the thing for tomorrow.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
And just so you know, before we get started, I hate Kevin.
All right. Hmm. I didn't see this. I don't know anything about it. But apparently Dave the King of Mexico watched highlights of a Logan Paul fight that was...
Not highlights, Kevin. Yeah. A live stream of a sold-out Manchester arena between some British YouTubers and some American YouTubers.
And Dave watched this.
Along with 2 million other people.
What?
Yes.
Did you say 2 million?
Yes. 800,000 of them paid $10 to watch it on YouTube.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it's concerning, and Dave has to be put down, I think.
Is that what we're coming? Is that our realization?
I mean, well, let's give him a chance to defend himself. I mean... You know how you always say, are there any other options?
Right.
This is one of those cases. I mean, he's going to have to convince us that there was no TV, there were no movies, there were no books. He wasn't allowed to go outside. Like,
right.
This was the only option. Somebody strapped him down and forced him to watch it and put blinders on, and he couldn't avoid it.
Otherwise, a trank dart?
Otherwise, I'm saying beyond that. I'm saying a real dart.
Okay.
So we'll talk to him about that. Why would any... I mean, look, if it's a fight to the death... Maybe I'm interested in seeing Logan Paul in a boxing ring.
Because you want to see him die.
Yeah, but otherwise, what the hell?
What the hell indeed. You never made it to day one of your job. You were hired, but you never started working. We're going to talk to you a little bit later on this morning if that
is... Kevin Klein.
You.
Kevin Klein in the afternoon.
Hmm? I can't
hear... Sorry, I just got a little something in my throat.
And apparently we owe the cast of Friends an apology.
Oh, no.
I'm reserving
Why
judgment.
Why so soon?
We're being told by Omar and Dave, the King of Mexico, who went back through the tape.
Yeah, you said they were just awful when they were in here, certain members of the cast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Apparently, and you were awful?
Well, the B team, they wanted to investigate that and see if we remembered it accurately, and they've come to a different conclusion.
Oh, no.
Their conclusion is 100% it was us.
That we're the dicks.
Oh,
that's their conclusion.
Each time?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I am eager to hear what they've come up with.
That's going to suck. And also, great news this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
It's time for our first look at what's happening. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, you guys. Well, Crazy Rich Asians topped the box office for the second weekend in a row with 25 million more bucks added. But what's interesting is it registered a drop of just 6%.
Wow.
Which is pretty much unheard of. I looked up a statistic. 68 movies have dropped 8% or less in their second wide release weekend. That's total of every movie everywhere ever since Time. Only 68 movies, and it dropped 6%.
That's crazy.
Unreal. Yeah. And it brought in $10.3 million in its second Saturday. That's the same amount it made last weekend. Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do we have a Titanic situation here where this is not just all new people because of great word of mouth? This is maybe some people ultra supporting it by going back again?
Maybe going back again, or maybe going back again because it was so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That could be part of it, too.
Yeah.
Hmm. A lot of times that takes longer than a week, though, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you would think. Over time, you'd really notice those numbers. But
super impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. The Meg, $13 million coming in at number two. By the way, worldwide haul for that movie, $408.6 million.
Wow.
What? How was it, Kevin?
Didn't see it.
Really?
Tried again for a second.
Made for you.
I know. I tried again for a second weekend to get someone to go with me. The answer was no.
Oh,
Kevin. It might have as well have been called The Meg for Kevin Ryder.
That's true. I'll see it. Don't worry.
Right. Of course you will.
I'm good.
And then Happy Time Murders. Not so great of an opening. Mm. Some would say it bombed with a $9 to $10 million opener. Whew.
Melissa McCarthy has had some tough box offices in some recent movies.
Yeah.
I still think of her as a superstar.
Absolutely.
But her movies have, some of them have not delivered.
Yeah, this one didn't so much. Like, let's say you were looking forward to seeing it for well over a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You were.
The trailer was spectacular.
Yeah, you were. If you were that person, you were real bummed.
Mm. That's a great trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
Trailer. Real good trailer. Just watch the trailer.
It's false advertising.
For a while, like for an hour. And then you saw it. Good stuff. Coming in at number four, Mission Impossible Fallout, making $8 million. And rounding out the top five, Christopher Robin, making another $6.3 million. Good stuff right there. You guys, this Aretha Franklin funeral, shaping up to be quite the who's who, if you will.
Quite a concert.
Yeah, this is a private funeral, this one. But this is going to feature Bill Clinton, Smokey Robinson, Jesse Jackson, Cicely Tyson, Clive Davis. Those will all be speakers at the funeral. As for performers, can I interest you in Stevie Wonder, Jennifer Hudson, Faith Hill, Fantasia, Chaka Khan, Yolanda Adams. I mean, we listed three of those people with who could do a great tribute. Remember, Pete?
Oh, that's crazy.
We were talking about the MTV one, right?
Yeah.
I'm certain this will be broadcast, right? You said it's a private
this is the private one.
Right?
Do you think? I looked it up. I couldn't find anything saying it was going to be streamed or anything, but
I want it to be.
I wouldn't hate it if it was.
But you should just tell people that, Bean, and you want it to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That'll work. Man, I tweeted about this, but I do want to mention in Bean's book club that I did read the wonderful biography that just came out about 3 years ago on Aretha Franklin. It's called Respect by David Retz, who has written books with everybody from Marvin Gaye to Smokey Robinson. I mean, he is the guy to go to for these books. And it is incredible how much I learned about Aretha Franklin. Even as a lifelong fan, there were so many things I didn't know about how tortured she was, how many real problems she had in her life. But also on the flip side of that, what an unbelievably musician she was. Her singing was so astounding that we lose track of the fact that she was an incredible producer, an incredible arranger, an incredible piano player, a great musician, great instincts. I mean, she really was, like we said when we heard she died, she was irreplaceable and one of a kind.
Yeah.
But if you're like me and Allie and you love Aretha so much, I very much recommend this book. Again, it's called Respect. It's by author David Ritz.
Is it spelled R-E-S-P-I-C-T?
No, that's Reverend Al. No. Okay. Just spell it the regular way and you'll find it.
Goodness. By the way, I just pulled this up because I thought this was such an interesting story, that a motorcade of 100 pink Cadillacs will be coming to Aretha Franklin's homecoming celebration. And then at the end, it says WXYZ in Detroit will stream the celebration on air and online. Okay. So it must be. Hmm. They just haven't said who's going to be doing it, you know, on a bigger scale.
Right, right, right.
All right, I'm in.
Because she had a song called Pink Cadillac, you guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not following.
Song.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going riding on a freeway of love.
We are.
Yeah. Remember? Kevin?
I do remember.
Okay. We were talking off the air about her piano playing. And if you guys haven't seen her just sit at a piano and just slay.
I don't think I've ever seen her play the piano.
It's what she probably could have been known for if that voice didn't come out of her body. But she was a stunning, stunning talent. All right, some birthdays for you. Pee-wee Herman, Paul Aww. Rubens, happy birthday to you. Tony Kanal, of course, bassist for No Doubt. Sarah Chalk, we know her from Roseanne, Scrubs, Rick and Morty. And Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. And he sometimes hangs out in an RV.
Occasionally.
Watches his friend poop in a bucket. That might make no sense if you didn't see that video, and I apologize. And that's what's happened.
Is it a fireable offense?
Yes.
That Dave watched the Logan Paul boxing fight?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be fireable,
well,
right?
Hold up.
Because I feel like there should be some sort of, isn't there some sort of a, what do they call them, the morals clauses or something like that? Like, you can't embarrass the show, you can't embarrass the company.
Right.
Dave.
I'm not positive that there's any way to embarrass the show, though. Even this.
That's true. Tell people what the event was, first of all.
The event was KSI versus Logan Paul boxing match. It was two YouTubers fighting in a ring. Now, before we get into this, let me just say that whatever you guys are going to tell me, I feel it already. I thought,
well, you should. You should have felt it before you turned it on.
It's like when you ever farted in a room and everybody smells it and knows it's you, and you're just like, oh, there's no hiding that. That's what it was. Mm. That's why, you
all
know.
Right, let me back up a second.
Yeah, okay.
What about this fight before it happened made you think I need to see it?
To be honest, I heard about it last week.
Right.
And I saw some highlights, and, you know, Logan Paul is just, you want to punch him. So why not look at someone punch him? And
so it was a hate watch.
Kind of.
By the way, I would have a respect for you if you had punched Logan Paul. If you had fought Logan Paul, I would be 100% in your corner.
Listen,
but
after watching
somebody else do it. Now, the important question here is, did you pay for it?
God, no. And that was part of the fun.
Oh, please, take it easy.
No. That was part of the fun.
You would have.
Where is I was that guy who was jumping from stream to stream. Because it was, Kevin, first of all.
From stream to stream?
Yes. I was on Twitter just jumping around, being like, all right, who has it next? I'm not paying for it. I just heard about it. It was at 11 a.m. Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I had nothing better to do. I was like, I'll just hop on my phone and watch it. And I watched it on my phone.
You had nothing better to do, Dave.
Wow. Yeah. You need better options.
Guys, this is laundry, anything.
Right? Laundry was done.
Do it again.
Ruffy.
Do it again.
Yeah, we were playing. Right? Like, this was shame. Like, I just,
it should be shame.
I needed a shower after watching this.
You should.
Let's back up another step here, because we're talking about Logan Paul, who's a name that has come up on this program before, but never in a good way. This is the guy who made that hideous video in the Japanese suicide forest, right?
Yes.
Where he was making fun of the fact that there was a guy who had committed suicide. Is he also the guy that we spotlighted who was destroying the peace of the neighborhood in Southern
Japan.
California?
Was that
his dumb brother?
That was his dumb brother.
Yeah,
but this guy was in Japan making fun of all the Japanese people with, like, the Pokemon stuff.
His brother Jake, though, was the one who, remember, the neighbors just hated him because he kept giving out his address and people were coming by, and he was just a total dick when the news people came by. So both of these guys are horrible, horrible people.
And they both fought this weekend.
What? They both fought.
Yes, he was the undercard.
Oh, he should have fought each other.
Why do I know this?
Why do you know this?
Why are you at all? This is the crux of the question that I have for you, Dave, is why are you at all interested in anything these two idiots do?
Listen,
this is 10 steps beyond the Kardashians, because at least the Kardashians are hot. There's nothing in it to watch these losers.
Well, one, I like to stay current. So I just like to keep up on things that are going on.
Right against it. Nice.
And then two, why not want to see these brothers get punched in the face? And that was the draw for me, honestly. That was the draw. But even after, I felt, ugh.
It sold 15,000 tickets.
Yes, at the Manchester Arena.
Yes. 15,000 tickets were sold.
And
I heard 21,000, by the way, was capacity that it was sold out.
That's how many people I think were there, Bean, but it sold 15,000.
That's crazy.
860,000 people paid for this on YouTube.
And that was, what, 10 bucks?
If you think about it.
For 10 bucks a
piece. 860,000 when these guys have almost 20 million per. Each guy has 20 million YouTube
followers,
subscribers.
Yep. Right.
That ain't that good.
Okay, it's because people don't want to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So Twitch, another streaming site, those feeds kept going up. Just like how I watched it on Twitter and it kept getting taken down.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Twitch had 1.2 million people watching their streams.
Mm. By the way, how have they not been able to shut that down? Because I remember when the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight happened, there were millions of people watching it on Twitch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How is that legal? I mean, I know it's not, but how are they not able to shut that down?
I have no idea.
That's weird. How good a fight was it, Dave?
It was a terrible fight.
Really?
Okay.
Huh.
Well, at least there's that.
Listen,
okay.
At least Logan Paul kind of knew how to box.
Okay.
But then after the second round, he was gassed. Mm-hmm. So the other guy came in, a KSI, and was just throwing wild punches and kind of just hitting him in the face, made him bleed. That was good, right?
Okay.
Yeah. But Kevin, Michael Buffer was there doing the announcing.
And a third judge has it, 57-57. It is a majority draw.
At least it was a satisfying draw.
Yes, it was a draw.
What was Michael Buffer doing then?
They
getting paid.
Yeah.
Dave, did you know about...
Did they pay you, Dave?
No.
Okay, you're an idiot.
I didn't pay them, so...
All right.
So Logan, but you gave them your dignity. But Logan and Jake, they were fighting brothers also, right?
Yeah, they were fighting this guy.
The other two were brothers, and they're popular YouTubers in Britain?
Yeah, Deji was the undercard. He's the one who fought Jake Paul, and then Logan fought KSI.
Mm-hmm. And do we hate them as well?
After hearing, like seeing the press conferences, yeah, I hate them both.
You watched the press conferences too?
I was just watching it right now.
What
I was just watching
hell?
It right now because I'm looking for audio.
And I've made my decision. You're fired.
Now, I would like to go a step further than that, Kevin, and say,
I want you in a grave.
I mean, come on.
Agree.
But guys, Chloe Bennett was there too.
Why was Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. there?
Because she's dating Logan Paul. Why do I know this?
Why?
Her,
why
is Chloe Bennett put down also?
Him?
I don't know. Ask her.
What?
And then they went to Paris after, and now they're in Paris having fun. Why do I know all this stuff?
Allie, you have been suspiciously quiet, and I know it's because you're seething right now.
There's no way for me to care about this any effing less.
But don't you care about how far Dave's standards have fallen?
It legitimately makes me sick. And I hate it, and I want him in a grave.
I hate myself.
We can all agree on
and
that.
And I'm going to jump in.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got great news coming up just after the top of the hour.
Yeah, we do. And congratulations to Felipe Ramirez from Roland Heights. He just won himself some passes for Six Flags Magic Mountain. We've got them for you all week. In fact, I think just about every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, if you want some free Six Flags tickets, we will hook you up. Monday morning, Allie's here. What's happening?
Guys, people are freaking out.
About?
On the Twitter.com.
About?
About pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, is it time already?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
And people are saying it's too soon. It's 110 degrees out. Why is Starbucks doing this? It's ridiculous.
It's not even September
yet. That's what a lot of people are saying. Usually they do it the first week in September. So people think this push is just ridiculous.
Slow down. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you like it, aren't you happy that it's out now?
I would assume you would
be. So who cares?
That's my point.
If you don't like it, you're not going to get it anyway.
Right.
So who cares?
It's the people that get so mad about Christmas decorations going up. Like, is it really affecting your life that much? It probably isn't. Let's take a step back and maybe calm down. However, I do appreciate a woman named Hannah Benjamin that tweeted, me in 98 degree heat, sweating profusely, clutching this hot beverage on August 28th. Fall is here, babies! The time for bonfires and sweaters is now! What a psycho.
She's awesome.
I love her.
I'm a guy who celebrated, you know, two-thirds Christmas over the weekend. Maybe I'm not the guy to bring this up, but there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago. This Halloween creep has happened fast, okay? Mm-hmm. There was a time when Halloween and fall started in October for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it crept back to September.
Right.
You know, and now...
And even then, it felt even like late September, it felt a little early.
It felt early. Absolutely, yeah. Now, Starbucks is pushing the fall to the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why that's a little bit disconcerting. But Kevin is absolutely right. If you don't want to get a pumpkin spice latte, if it's not a drink you like, don't get it.
Plus, you'll be okay.
You'll be okay.
Right.
It's okay, everybody.
And first day of fall is September 22nd. So, I mean, it's right around the corner.
Right, sure.
And if you think about it, you want to put up the fall decorations. You want it to last mid-September through and then October when you bring out the Halloween to be with your fall decorations as well.
Sure. You have a lot of fall decorations, DL?
I do, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I have different wreaths and stuff that are fall colors. I have pillows that I bring out. Sure.
What color do you make your year-round Christmas tree when it gets to be fall?
Oh, that took a dump.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Very sad to report. Yeah, that's been gone for over a year and a half.
I thought that was forever.
Yeah, I usually bring that back out after Christmas because I have a regular Christmas tree, obviously. I'm not a monster.
Right.
But the last time I was moving it, I don't know what happened, but only certain things would light up. And I was like, this is not fun. So I bought a light up birch tree instead. So that's there the months that...
Okay.
Christmas tree isn't.
All right.
Has this been fun?
Mm-hmm. It was.
I'm glad I'm
it was for a while.
Just saying. It's good stuff. I am not a pumpkin fan. I like the smell of a pumpkin candle and maybe a pumpkin ravioli once.
That's good.
But I don't like the taste of pumpkin.
Pumpkin ice cream. Oh, my God, is great.
Wow. I'm sure it is.
Pumpkin. Oh, that's true. You can't have that. But
that's fine.
I'll get a pumpkin spice latte. That'll be me.
Okay.
I'll look forward to that.
Kevin, you into pumpkin?
Into pumpkin, but ice cream, not latte. Mm-hmm.
What about pumpkin pie?
Love.
Ew, even though it like sweats right in the middle, those beads of sweat, it's all, I'm a sweaty pie.
It's very moist.
Ugh. I hate it.
People are waking up right now hearing about Ally McKay's sweaty pie.
Not my sweaty pie. I do not allow a sweaty pie. I hate pumpkin pie. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So Beyonce and Jay-Z had a hectic show in Atlanta for their On the Run 2 tour.
What happened?
During the last moments of Ape-S, a fan wearing a white jersey rushed the stage and tried to approach the couple as they were heading backstage. And her backup dancers totally intercepted them. They were like, oh, not on my watch.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, which I kind of love. But concertgoers who posted footage on social media initially thought that there was a fight breaking out on stage. Turns out, just a 26-year-old dude named Anthony Maxwell, he was wasted. Just drunk.
What a surprise.
Felt like just jumping up there and maybe he'd be able to hang out with Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Because that's how it works.
That's how it works. You jump on the stage, you follow them backstage. Not good. He was not taken into custody. And Bay and Jay released a statement. Everything's fine, guys. Everything's cool. Don't do that, though.
Did the backup dancers keep dancing in front of them?
That would be amazing.
That
would
be great. Keep going, people. Keep going.
Just kickball change them right in the who. What?
They're from Canada.
No.
I don't think so.
No. Beyonce, I think, is from, Houston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay-Z's from...
Not Canada.
New York, yeah. And this was in Atlanta, so.
Right.
I don't know about the dancers, if that's what you were asking. Yeah. Not sure if you saw this over the weekend, but Ariana Grande came to her fiancé Pete Davidson's defense after Barstool Sports posted an article. Did you guys see this?
I did.
I did not see this.
They posted an article about Pete Davidson having what they call butthole eyes. Because if you think about the area around the b-hole,
yes.
It sometimes gets like discolored and brown and it's like a thinner skin.
Right.
We're learning a lot about Allie today.
I'm not sure I like it.
Sweaty pie.
Listen.
I don't want to know about butthole eyes.
I read this because it's Barstool and I enjoy a good Barstool article. But they made the joke that he has these dark under eye circles and his eyes look like buttholes. Well... Ariana was quick to remind Barstool Sports.
Ariana Grande? Yeah, you got accepted now, don't you?
No. Two generations. She reminded the website that Pete has Crohn's disease. She wrote, y'all know this man has an autoimmune disease, right? Like, you understand what you're doing when you do this, right? Just want to make sure. And then out came WebMD people. Like, all the Barstool Sports people were like, Crohn's disease does not make your eyes look like that. It's either dehydration or, and then, of course, all of Ariana's fans. It just, it got ugly. All I'm saying is butthole eyes. It's a thing. It's a thing, people.
That's a woman for you.
It's a woman for you. Not a thing you want. Sticking up for her man. You don't want butthole eyes.
I was thinking about this over the weekend. Do we want to have a pool on whether they'll make it to the wedding or not? Even?
Oh, sure. And if they do, how long? Right. Yes, absolutely.
Because I just, it's moved so fast.
Yeah.
It can't possibly.
Yeah, they're not getting married.
I don't
sure.
think so.
No? No?
I think they will.
You
I'm
too?
I'm willing to put money down on they will wed.
Okay.
It depends a lot on how soon they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to do it in 2 weeks, yeah, they'll probably do it. But if they're going to do it in a couple of years.
If it's a couple of years, but you could be right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I want them to if they're happy. If
they,
you know, if they are the right ones for one another, I mean, we should all wish them happiness.
But what about the butthole eyes?
Well, you don't want to wake up next to that.
Right?
You get so tired if you're Pete. You get so tired of that goddamn ponytail, too, wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a Beverly Hills hotel that, quite frankly, did something very funny over the weekend to a man named Justin Verlander, who, quite frankly, deserves some awfulness in his life. Awesome pitcher, like, I believe he impregnated Kate Upton.
He sure did.
He won World Series last year. Like, things are too good for him.
Let's too much going on.
Yes.
Take him down a notch?
A little humility. We're going to talk about that coming up. But first, some birthdays for you. Aaron Paul, Tony Kanell, Paul Rubens, and Sarah Chalk. And that's what's happening.
By the way, I'm stunned, Kevin, that you didn't go to the free Foo Fighters show last night.
Yeah, I wanted to so bad.
When that word broke, and what was the name they were using? The Holy S's? Is that the fan name they were using? I'd love to talk to somebody later on today's show who was at that thing. Because there's nothing more fun than a Foo Fighters concert.
Agreed.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. We appreciate you being with us. It is 7:06 and time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, I'm going to start with a story about firefighters. You guys know where American Samoa is?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Go to Hawaii, hang a left. It's about 5,000 miles from here.
Yeah, it's way in the middle of nowhere if you look at a globe.
It's an unincorporated territory of the United States.
Like Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so there's a group of 17 guys who comes to North America. They make a 5,000-mile trip one way every year, every summer, to help fight fires. And they're an amazing group of guys.
Firefighters from all around.
What?
I'm sorry, excuse me. So in other words, they're in American Samoa where they don't have fires.
Yes.
So what they do is they fly to California, Washington, Oregon, places like that that do.
Yes.
And help. Oh, that's very cool.
Right.
Firefighters from all around the world are on the front lines in Northern California, but one unique crew traveled nearly 5,000 miles to Shasta County to use a very different kind of tool to help.
I'd like you to just listen to this guy try to mention the other reporter's name.
Reporter Mira Villarreal shows us how.
Mm.
That's her name.
It is.
She's very popular.
He said it right.
CBS reporter. That is actually her name, and that is actually how it's pronounced. I know it sounds like it's Maria, but it's not. It's Maria.
These are the all too common sounds. Familiar to anyone caught up in one of nature's most powerful acts of destruction. Far more unusual is what takes their place when they finally subside. A choir of strong, steady voices echoing through the cathedral of a burnt-out forest. A sound rarely, if ever, heard anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
Everyone always asks, where is American Samoa? And we're like, that's just a little dot on the equator.
Meet the National Park Service's Samoa 61 fire crew, 17 guys from that little dot on the equator.
We're here for a purpose, you know, we want to help.
Anthony Wojberski is one of the team's vets. For the past five summers, he's made the almost 5,000-mile journey north, along with a group he calls his brothers.
We try and bring back our culture, our Samoa. We try and stay positive. What a lot of people tell us is that they've never seen a fire team so positive.
Beedy-bop-bop-bop.
That positivity comes through music. The team can earn almost half a year's salary during a month on the fire lines. But with all this grueling, back-breaking work, it's not the main reason they do it.
They feel like they're helping America.
Nate Gonia coordinates the movements of federal fire crews like the Samoans.
They feel like they're part of this country right now. And these guys have so much energy that people just want to be part of it.
You guys are happy all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
How can you be happy doing some of this?
I don't know. It's just the way we're raised back home.
They sing at dinner. They sing in the morning. They sing when they're walking.
That's so annoying for the other firefighters. My God.
The other firefighters are like, shut up.
Seriously. The Samoans are the real big guys,
yes.
too, right? Big guys, yeah.
Yeah. And that's my great news.
It's a good story. I like it. Hey, St. Paul, Minnesota is where I'm taking you guys. Kwame Anderson and Jason Gable are Coors delivery drivers. They're all driving beer around to places all over in Minnesota. And they see a guy hanging onto the outside of a fence on an interstate overpass. They pull over. They jump out of the truck. And Kwame says, hey, what are you doing, man? If you're thinking of jumping, you don't have to jump. The man told Anderson, you don't know me. You don't care. Why are you trying to save me? He said, if I didn't care, I wouldn't be here right now. And by the way, I've often wondered if I ever got into this situation where I saw a guy, God forbid, standing over a freeway overpass ready to jump, if I would have the skills to help in that situation.
I assume that you would want to and you would try.
Feel like I would try for sure if you saw a guy like that. I wouldn't just keep driving on. The Coors delivery man realized the man was suicidal. They called 911, but they knew they had to keep the conversation going until the police arrived. He said, I thought about Denzel Washington when he's acting as a cop in the movie. I said, well, I got to keep this guy entertained somehow because if I wait for the police, this thing may be over. So they spoke for an hour. Even after the police arrived, the two found out they had similar upbringings. The man had a house nearby. They could relate to each other's problems. Then Anderson, the Coors driver, said, if you come down from there, you want to go get a drink with me and we'll talk about what's going on. He then ran to the truck, grabbed a case of cold beer, opened it and said,
there it is.
I got a pack of Coors Light for you. Follow me. And the guy who was getting ready to end his life said, oh, free beer? Cold beer on a hot day? The man inched across the bridge to safety, but, and this is the only downer in the story, did not get the drink because paramedics jumped him and took him to the hospital for evaluation.
Give the man a beer!
At least wait 2 minutes and let the guy have his cold brew, right?
Right.
One more tidbit on this story that I find so fascinating. Gable, the second Coors driver, said, I don't know why this happened, but I always take a left and go for the bridge, I took a left and went toward the bridge, but usually we go straight. We have a route that we do every single Wednesday. That's not the way I've ever gone before. It was not part of the plan.
Wow.
It must have been God's plan. So it was an accident that these guys were even driving by this dude on the bridge.
Or was it?
Well, I think it was. I think it was a surprise, yeah. But what a wonderful story that he talked him down with cold beer.
But then it was a joke.
Well,
hey, remember that cold beer thing? Sorry.
I hope they figured out a way to get his beer. But that's my great news.
All right. Mine is about a young lady, a 12-year-old named Aspen Kelly. She was diagnosed with leukemia late last year. And unfortunately, because of having leukemia and getting her chemotherapy, she's unable to travel, can't do anything. So spent her summer getting chemo. So she decided ahead of her 13th birthday, which is on September 1st, she was going to ask Facebook friends, hey, if you're going on vacation anywhere, will you drop me a postcard? Just let me know where you're at. I can maybe live vicariously through you.
That's awesome.
Well, turns out a lot of people saw that because it went viral. And she said, I thought it would just be a bunch of my mom's reader and author friends. Boring, right? Turns out she gets more than 200 postcards and gifts per day.
Per day?
Per day. So everything from, you know, people traveling to Greece, like this one man who wrote, Aspen, I hope this arrives in time for your happy 13th birthday. Love you, Tom Hanks. Wait, what?
What?
Yes.
A guy named Tom Hanks wrote to her?
It was indeed Tom Hanks because he sent the postcard from Greece and then pasted a little picture of himself on the front just so she'd know, like, it's indeed me. How great is that? Like, the dude just couldn't be more lovely anyway. But She said she has been opening some of the gifts in anticipation of her birthday on September 1st. She's reading all the postcards on her birthday. So she's saving those all for her birthday. She's going to be very busy.
Yeah,
because
no kidding.
There are hundreds upon hundreds of them, which is just lovely.
I agree.
To do for a lovely young girl, 12 years old, going through chemo. Well,
is there an address listed somewhere where we can send postcards?
There is. It's in Watonga, Oklahoma, and we will post that. We'll post the article as well.
Great.
So her birthday is coming up on Saturday, so there's time to send her a postcard. I mean, you're not Tom Hanks, so it won't be as cool, but still, that's my great news.
I was at a newsstand over the weekend at the airport. And I had this conversation with a woman who was standing there looking at the magazines because Jennifer Aniston is on the cover of one of the big magazines like Vogue or InStyle or one of them. And I says to her, I says, why is Jennifer Aniston still so famous? Why? She's usually when you see somebody on the cover of a major magazine, it's because they have something to promote. They have a movie out or something like that.
Yeah.
Why? What's the fascination with the Friends cast? The show's been off the air for 85 years. But doesn't it seem like people are still obsessed with Friends and whether there's going to be a Friends reunion?
Yes and yes.
I love Friends.
And she's on every magazine available, always.
All the time, yeah. Friends went off the air, like I said, a million years ago. And I say good riddance because they were dicks. Those Friends guys were dicks.
Why?
That's how I remember it anyway.
Why do you guys say that?
Well, because all the years that we were on in the 90s, That's when Friends was on.
Uh-huh.
And for the most part, we didn't talk to any of them.
Okay.
For the most part.
So just because they don't come on your show, they're dicks?
I mean, yes.
What?
Of course.
We actually liked the show at the time, and we were trying to have them on to promote the show. Not that they needed our help, but I think we were a little bit offended that not one of them would ever come on because we put in a lot of requests. And then slowly but surely, as time went on, we did start to – I think we ended up with three of them. And by the way, Kevin, let's not forget that Jennifer Aniston was our co-star in Kevin and Bean's Rockstar. And she could not have been lovelier, could not have been more delightful. Man. But that wasn't on the radio.
Not even Schwimmer would come on?
Not even Schwimmer.
No.
Schwimmer!
No.
And the Friends that we did have on, my memory, is that they were dicks.
Well, Matthew Perry for sure.
Really?
Yeah. How do you remember this one, Bean? Because we talked.
I remember Matthew Perry as being a dick, and I remember us just doing nothing but mocking him after that call happened. And I guess this is something that you had heard us talk about before, Omar, so you decided to revisit it, revisit those interviews with the Friends cast on your B-Team podcast.
Absolutely. It's on episode either 46 or 47. We got an Afro call requesting, hey, Kevin Bean, from time to time, say that the people from the Friends cast were dicks, and they wanted us to revisit some of the interviews.
Okay.
So I pulled a couple of clips from the Matthew Perry interview. He was on to promote The Odd Couple.
Okay.
And then we had Lisa Kudrow, who was starring in The Comeback.
Okay.
So I pulled a couple of clips from that. So first up, we have Matthew Perry. And I just want you to hear the tone of how he says hello. And you guys could judge for yourself. See if he's in a good mood, bad mood. This is a really short clip.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. All right. Seems like he's in a good mood there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Seems right?
Fine, yeah.
Seems fine. So the Kings were in the playoff. You guys launch into about 3 or 4 minutes of just hockey talk.
Which we should have.
Okay. So you
because
guys are talking hockey.
He's a huge Kings fan, if I recall, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And he was playing along, and, you know, he was talking about how huge of a Kings fan he is. This next clip is a little bit longer, and these clips are a little longer because I want you to sense the tone and how he's feeling. You know
okay.
what I mean?
I feel like I'm being set up.
That's very important because,
okay.
you know, I mean, you're going to either sense he's a dick or not, okay? So this is after about 3 to 4 minutes of hockey talk. You guys ask him how long he's been a hockey fan.
I was always a Kings fan. My dad lived in Los Angeles my whole life, so I was always a Kings fan from the time I was a little kid. Even when I lived in Montreal, when I was like 5 years old, I would go to the Kings games and be the only person screaming when they scored a goal.
Oh, my God. Did you get your ass kicked?
Then, back then, they rarely scored goals against the Canadians because the Canadians were the team.
So like Guy Carboneau days.
But I've been a Kings fan since the Butch Goring days. I mean, I've been a Kings fan forever. And how to segue into The Odd Couple, I have no idea. But I'll just say that The Odd Couple is hilarious.
Well, all right.
Okay.
All right. So okay. far.
So far, so good.
The tone, great, by the way.
The tone seems, seems very positive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right?
Very excited to talk.
And he has to do his own segue into right. the Odd Couple because you guys are all, he probably feels like he's on a sports show.
Sure.
And he did it in a very clever and smart way.
Right.
Funny.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So far, so good. Right.
I am Team Matthew Perry at this
Sounds
point.
So charming.
And let's not forget that we're on a time crunch because these are these 8-minute interviews.
Oh, okay.
So
this is one
if
of those.
You're spending 3 to 4 minutes on hockey.
Which is the right thing to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Then he wants to get into the Odd Couple.
Of course. Okay. Okay.
So the interview continues.
And do you love being able to show up and just be a slob and not have to shave and pretty much just wear whatever you slept in last night, Matthew?
It's really fun. I spend very little time in hair and makeup.
Nice.
And I just sort of, it's a very laid-back performance, much different than I've ever done before, much different than Chandler. And it's been really fun to play him.
Tell me about getting a new TV show on the schedule and getting fans. Is a difficult process for even good shows. Did you go into this with higher hopes? Did you think, yeah, this is going to nail it? Or you had no idea?
Well, wow. We had the title and we had me in it, so we were hopeful that it would get picked up. And it was a good script. I say so having written the script, so I'm just bragging now.
All right.
we had a lot of power behind the show before it started, so we had high hopes that it would make the air.
All right, first of all, poorly asked question by
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well,
I didn't
yeah.
understand
it. I didn't understand it.
Honestly,
I
did not understand it.
Yeah. What part? You didn't pull the part where he was a dick.
That was the part.
Listen.
That is the part we remember, is when yeah, we yeah. said, why is it good? And he said, because I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But now that I listen back to it here,
yeah.
uh-huh.
sounds like he was just joking around.
He was mm-hmm. just joking around.
Is it yeah. possible we've been wrong this whole time?
Listen, on the B team, I always say, you know, Dave and I were working on other things here, so we always kind of like are always halfway paying attention. Uh-huh. So whatever you guys say, we take it as words.
Yeah. You should.
So all this time, I was just like, oh, the Friends people, they're dicks.
Yeah, he's delightful.
He seemed delightful. He seemed like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
When he said, I'm just bragging now, yeah. I mean, that was just him making fun of himself for
Absolutely.
Saying
hey,
because he knew how it could be completely self-deprecating. Man,
he was
I
great.
Love Matthew Perry.
Wow. Yeah. So okay. we owe him an apology?
Well, we have one more clip.
Yeah.
The okay. Lisa Kudrow interview. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I'd come back, which was a show I liked very, very much.
So wonderful.
I'm right. sure I was excited to talk to Ms. Kudrow.
You were excited.
You were.
And it was one of these things, being refreshed my memory, it was on for one season and then it got canceled, right? And then,
it was on for more than one.
Yeah, okay, I think it was on for 3 or 4
yeah.
seasons.
And then it got canceled, then it came back like 9 years later or a couple years later.
No, none of that.
I don't remember any of that happening either, though.
No, it was a show about her comeback.
Play the tape. It's on the tape, so just play the tape.
Okay.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So weird situation where I hadn't even remembered that the comeback was on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, what, it was 2005?
Yeah. That's when it was on.
And then canceled. Correct? It was canceled in 2005.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now
you have a question?
And now it's a weird... Don't you think that's a weird schedule?
Yes.
What, the once every 9 years schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it seems how it's going to be tough to keep an audience. No?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, we would have actually done another season back then. We would have.
So why would you automatically insult the guest telling her, hey, your show is canceled?
I think he was trying to make it seem like, why wait so long? But obviously that wasn't her choice.
Trying
I
failed
that way,
miserably.
Yeah.
So she was pretty cool.
I think we've learned that Kevin is the dick in both cases.
Was I in both cases?
I think so.
I was going to say, because I've interviewed Lisa Kudrow, and she couldn't be more lovely, more accommodating, just say a wonderful human being. Yeah, and the comeback is one of the best shows ever.
Yeah, the interview goes on, and Bean is able to kind of like smooth things over.
Okay.
Oh, and, man. Kevin, throughout the entire interview, is oddly quiet the rest of the interview.
So do I owe the Friends cast an apology?
I think you have to... you owe him an apology.
Apologize.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's shocking. We can do better than that, Kevin. We can do better than that.
I thought they were dicks. Total dicks.
Oh, no.
By the way, same.
Yeah.
And I was wrong.
Yeah, I was here for that Matthew Perry interview.
Yeah.
And I was on board with him being a dick.
Okay.
You're very persuasive, Kevin. you're like a cult leader.
You are. We believe anything that comes out of your mouth for some reason.
I'm the problem.
Yes!
Oh, no.
Kevin's a dick, dick, dick. Kevin's a dick, dick, dick.
Finally.
Kevin's a dick, dick, dick. Oh, you are a giant dick.
Okay.
Kevin's a dick, dick, dick. Kevin's a dick.
How's it feel, Kevin?
Dick, dick.
Pretty bad.
Kevin, you're a dick, dick, dick. You're a big giant dick, dick, dick.
All right.
Dickity dick.
Right.
Dick. Dick, dick, dick.
That's my bad.
Kevin's a dick.
That one's on me.
Giant dick, dick, dick.
Okay, all right.
Kevin, you're a giant dick.
All right, that's
Kevin,
my bad.
Kevin, you're a giant dick.
Dick!
Kevin, you're a giant dick.
Dick!
Kevin, you're a giant dick.
Dick!
Kevin, you're a giant dick. Dick, dick, dickity dick.
All right.
Such a dick. Oh my god, you're a dick, dick, dick. Dick, 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 dickity dick. Kevin, you're a dick, dick, dick. What a dick.
That needs to be my ringtone, am I right?
By the way, coming up just after 8, around 20 minutes from right now, we're going to be looking for your telephone calls. If you were hired for a job but never started, you got fired before your first day at work.
You got fired on your first day.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to do, you didn't even make it to your first day.
That's right. And we'll tell you all about that and take your calls, too, coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. Speaking of getting fired, the farting security guard is back in the news, you guys. Remember Paul Flart? We were talking about him last week.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He was on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. He was a guy who on Instagram was working as a security guard at a Florida hospital. Wait, it was in Florida? What are the chances? 100%. And he discovered that there was good acoustics around the lobby and the front desk. So once he heard that, he said, oh, I need to start recording these. These are too good to waste.
What are these, Bean?
Farts. His
yes.
Farts. Yes. Here's a little bit of what that video sounded like that put him on the Roundup last week. Okay, I think we all know what farts are. So, it's like 3 minutes of him sitting down 2 seconds at a time to make a fart and go about his business. And it won't surprise you... all right, we got it. Understand. It won't surprise you that once that video went viral and people were able to see the name on his uniform of the security company that he worked for, it was pretty easy to track him down at the hospital where he worked. So, he got fired.
Right?
You sound very disappointed, Allie.
Well, when I did this story last week, it really bummed me out that this man is bringing joy. He's just farting. That's it. He even switched up his diet. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He had a real, dare I say, dry spell. And so decided to do some research, found out what foods he had to eat to keep the farting back up.
Right.
And he changed his diet. He's like an athlete.
That's dedication. Yeah.
He is.
Positive he's an athlete.
He is a big proponent of flaxseed. That's what he's sharing with his followers, is flaxseed is the way to go. So he not only got fired, but he continued to entertain the world by recording him getting fired. When he showed up for work after this thing had gone viral, they were waiting for him in the parking lot. His real name is Doug, by the way. He moved down to Florida from New Jersey to help his mom out and then took this job as a security guard. So here's Paul Flart, a.k.a. Doug. Here he is finding out, and he wasn't surprised at all that he was losing the job.
So we're going live, about to get fired from my job, probably. Let's find out.
Hey.
What's going on?
Not much. Listen, we need to talk, man.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of pissed off people here.
Okay.
Okay. What are you doing with your phone?
I'm recording, sir.
Why are you recording?
Because.
Take it off.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
You're not going to record me wearing that uniform.
I'm not recording you, sir. I'm recording me, sir.
Okay, you can.
Okay, so he was recording himself. All you could see is him.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't see anyone else or the place or anything.
Turn it off.
Okay. Well, so you're firing me anyway, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep...
But you need to turn it off.
I don't...
If you're going to fire me, I'm done.
Okay.
So I can just walk out of here right now, and then if that's it, I mean, if you guys are going to fire me, like, what's...
Well, you do realize that you're on a client's property.
Yeah.
Wearing our uniform.
100%. I'm not going to argue the facts of you getting, you know...
That's what thing. Now, again, it's come to our attention that you've recorded yourself in our uniform on the client's property.
Never showing any logos or anything, though.
You can... I'm not going to argue with that. That's fine, attorney.
That's fine.
Here's your write-up.
First of all, Paul Flart needs Ali as his attorney because he is not – forget fighting for your job. He understands why he's being fired. He should at least be pointing out the joy that he's bringing to the world.
Thank you.
I didn't bring that up.
Yeah, he's not even saying, what about the millions of people that I made happy? Do you ever think about them?
Right.
Why do you care more about your stupid company than you do about the happiness of the world?
What about my training that went into this?
Right.
I'm an athlete.
Thank you.
Here's your write-up.
Okay.
You can read it. If you want to dispute it, there's plenty of room down here or on the back side that I left for you.
Okay.
Okay? So if you want to dispute it, that's fine. I have asked you to stop recording. You're refusing. So what I need you to do is go ahead and read that.
Okay. So let me see this real quick. Can I not see this?
No.
Okay. An unusually high amount of time. Okay.
I think 75 times would account as
3-second video, so...
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
75 times using something that you knew that you shouldn't be using.
Okay.
He was using his b-hole.
Thank you.
You're supposed to use your b-hole.
Agreed.
That's right?
So, I mean, that's fine. All right.
Do you wish to sign?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's irrelevant, you know, at this point, for sure.
Okay. Good luck.
That's it?
Yep.
We're all done here?
Yep.
That's it. We lost the job, guys. That's it.
I need the badges, please.
Yeah, sure. You can have this. I'll drop the shirts off to George.
Stop recording while you're on this property.
I'm just going to leave the property.
That's fine.
That's fine.
But
so
stop recording now while you're off the property. You're off the property.
All right. So that's it, guys.
You are on private property.
That's it. We're done. Paul Flart will continue in the future. Please stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
I'm asking
you. Appreciate all of you. We're done, brother.
Okay.
Why is that guy so uptight about the recording?
Here's the thing. I feel let down.
Let down.
By Doug.
Why?
How did he not let one rip that whole time?
That would have been spectacular.
The best.
I just have one more thing to say.
Sure.
That would have been spectacular.
That would have been the best. He does say, by the way, that he has plans to keep going as Paul Flart. I mean, now that he's famous, you know, he's famous forever.
But imagine, he moved down there to take care of his mother, right?
Right. Yes.
Mom, listen. I lost my job. Why? I recorded myself farting. What? Can you imagine that conversation?
We're going to keep making content. Mm-hmm. We can do Paul Flart on vacation, you know, throw in like a Hawaiian shirt or a hat of some sort and then just go around Florida farting. We're going to keep going, he says. He also has a Patreon page where people are donating to him to, quote, facilitate his goal of surviving on farts and being able to continue making the content that makes all of you so joyous and happy. I think you guys know what I'm thinking, and that is Paul Flart 2020.
Agreed.
Right?
Right. Hey!
Mm-mm. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Next hour, between 8 and 9, more passes for you for Six Flags Magic Mountain. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Monday.
Well, Houston Astros pitcher Justin Verlander, we all know him.
Sure.
I mean, he's a great pitcher.
He'll always be a Tiger to me, by the way.
Yeah, he really is. But, I mean, he's pretty good with being traded to the Astros
yeah, sure.
and winning a World Series last year. So he tweeted out a photo of a pretty insane restaurant receipt. He went to the Beverly Hills Hotel's Cabana Cafe, and he had everything from, you know, cranberry juice, $10, latte, $9. Typical prices for a hotel, especially one in Beverly Hills. But the charge that was $1 million.
I'm sorry?
$1 million?
That was his bill?
Well, that was just one of the charges on it. This one, it didn't say latte, didn't say pancakes, didn't say that. It just said... miscellaneous Dodger killer fee.
That's awesome.
Nice. So
that's
someone,
a sense of humor.
Yeah, someone at that Cabana Cafe has a good sense of humor.
That's awesome.
Put that on the bill, and then, of course, the taxes on that meal. Just under $100,000 with all of that. By the way, most people, though, are really... people were very concerned about this bill, not understanding the joke and how great it was. They were like, $42 for a salad?
They're missing the million-dollar part?
You're missing the point of this, that somebody was very funny and decided to do this, and
That's awesome.
Adorable.
I agree with you. They're missing the point. But let's not forget that they're $28 pancakes. That insane.
No, they're $30 pancakes.
Oh, $30
pancakes. Don't be ridiculous.
$30. Well, you've eaten at a hotel. They jack the prices up so ridiculously. And then add that that hotel is in Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, he had a real good sense of humor about it. And then he went on to have another dominating pitching performance and beat the Angels on Saturday night. So Justin, everything's still coming up, Justin Verlander, even with the $1 million charge.
And he's married to Kate Upton.
Sure.
I mean, there's that.
So things are okay. But he wrote, Beverly Hills Hotel really making me pay for that World Series win. Thanks for the great lunch, as always. Well, word came out today that that lunch was comped. So after all that, he didn't pay anything. Come on. That's how rich people stay so rich.
That's crazy.
They are not paying for jack, right?
So everybody else is like, oh, $30 pancakes, that's ridiculous.
And he's like, I'm not even paying for it.
That's insane.
Exactly. But I do kind of want to try that $42 salad. It's got to be great lettuce, right?
I mean,
it better have gold on it. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. So we all know that Ryan Reynolds is incredibly funny.
Yes.
And incredibly good at social media, right?
Agreed.
His tweets are hysterical. Well, his wife, Blake Lively, also pretty damn good. So they go back and forth with each other, which I enjoy watching online because you never know what's going to happen with those two. But she got some fashion feedback on Instagram. She posted herself wearing, I'll just say, a very colorful plaid suit. And she copped to it. She's like, listen, picnic anyone? I'll bring the tablecloth. So she posts that. And then one user, his name is Gabe Luna, said, I say this with so much love and respect for you, babe. Please hire a stylist or fire the one you're currently with. So she sees this and she responds, thank you for the tip, sir. Alas, I've tried to fire Blake Lively so many times, but that bitch just keeps coming back. She won't leave me alone.
That's awesome.
Alluding to the fact that she's her own stylist. She dressed herself. Maybe don't... she already made fun of herself.
Right.
There's no need to pile on. She got that out of the way. I just love those two.
They are great.
And she's never looked bad in anything she's ever worn.
Ever. She could literally wear a tablecloth and we'd be like, how do I get that? Where's it being sold at? That movie that's coming out with her and Anna Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And every time I do this because I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of it?
I don't.
You should write it down.
I should write it down. That movie.
Mm-hmm. Looks super scary.
Looks so good. A Simple Favor.
That's it.
Oh my God. You don't know what happened. Like, does she just off herself? Does she get kidnapped? What happens? And Anna Kendrick's like, oh, I just wanted a friend that was pretty. And Blake Lively's like, nope. And then her son's like, I just saw my mom. And everyone's like, whoa, she's gone. Can't wait.
I think my new boyfriend, Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians, is in that movie.
He is indeed.
Yeah.
And it's a Paul Feig movie, so we need to get him in here.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a thriller.
Love him.
Got everything.
Thriller.
I'm in.
Can I sell you on it, though?
I'm already saying yes.
We've already said yes.
I don't know how much yes you need, but...
all the yes.
Okay, yes. All the yes.
Appreciate it. Some birthdays for you. Aaron Paul, Tony Kanell, Sarah Chalk, and Paul Rubens.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Thanks, Pee-wee. That's what's happening.
I'm sorry to keep obsessing over something here, but... Matthew Perry wasn't a dick. Kevin was. That's the conclusion that we came to visiting that tape again.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was in my mind 100% that he couldn't have been more of a dick.
Yeah.
So it makes me not trust my memory on anything anymore.
Well, that's my bad.
It's such a hold over all of us. We all believed it. We were here and we believed it. We were a part of that.
Yep. And by the way, we started thinking that maybe Kevin has a cult leader powers.
Cult leader?
More than one mm-hmm. listener has said that you have single-handedly gotten people to let their gas tanks run to empty.
Oh, you're just in by the power of your gasoline. Words.
You are.
Yes.
And I stopped talking about that 2 years ago.
Oh,
There was no Zero Club before Kevin started saying, pay attention, you're getting very sleepy.
I never said it
Don't stop in and fill up your gas tank. It's better if it gets to zero.
I used reverse psychology. I said, don't do this. This is a terrible way to live.
Well, whatever tactics you have,
right,
man,
it worked.
You are definitely a cult leader.
It's still working.
I'm going to start really paying attention from now on.
I think I would be a great cult leader.
Well, you are, apparently.
All right, let's talk about you never made it to your first day on the job.
I love this.
Now, we have talked about you were fired the first day, but this is you didn't even get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with a story of a girl that was an intern at NASA. And she sort of celebrated perhaps in the wrong way.
A woman reportedly lost out on an internship with NASA over her expletive-filled tweets about nabbing the position. Screenshots of the now-deleted tweets obtained by BuzzFeed News show the user, identified as Naomi H., writing, "Everyone shut the f*** up. I got accepted for a NASA internship." Homer Hickman, a former NASA engineer whose 1998 memoir Rocket Boys inspired the movie October Sky, noted her language, leading to an even more vulgar response from Naomi, ending with, "I'm working at NASA," to which Hickam responded.
So all Homer Hickam did, and by the way, I didn't know he was the October Skies guy. That's awesome. All he did was write language.
Yes.
No, because that was a great movie. All he did was write language, okay? So she doubles down, and what they don't say in this news report is she says, "Suck my blank and blank."
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which she has, by the way.
Right.
"I'm working at NASA." So she is just throwing her hands in the air like she just don't care at this point, right? She just wants everybody to be on board with how excited she is about working for NASA.
Right.
All right. So Homer, now she has no idea who Homer Hickam is. She just thinks he's some old guy who's upset that she
used
the F word.
Policing her language.
Policing her language on Twitter, right. So I guess this is probably the point in the story where she finds out who Homer is.
To which Hickam responded, "And I am on the National Space Council that oversees NASA." According to Newsweek, in a post on his blog that also appears to have been deleted, Hickam said he learned that the woman had lost her offer for an internship with NASA. He reportedly noted that he was simply concerned her use of the F word could get her into trouble and didn't call for her to lose the internship.
All right, so we didn't know that. And then it goes on.
Instead, Newsweek says Hickam explained that some of the unkind messages sent to him included the NASA hashtag, drawing the agency's attention. Naomi made her tweets private, and BuzzFeed reports Hickam's post states that they've both since apologized to one another.
That's sweet.
Explaining that he's hoping to secure her a position in the aerospace industry that's better than the one she lost. He reportedly added, "I have also talked to the folks that had to do with her internship and made absolutely certain that there will be no black mark on her record."
Wait.
That turned
Wait,
hard, didn't it?
Why
that took a hard left.
Why do you reward Naomi, who clearly is clueless, has no idea how to be an adult professional working at a place like NASA? "Suck my blank and blank" is what she's writing in conjunction with her getting an internship.
I assume
there?
She just meant that to be funny, though. Yeah. And I think this guy, Homer, felt guilty, like maybe he was the reason she didn't get the internship, and maybe he didn't want it to go that far. I don't know.
Yeah, he got the Twitter mob on him because apparently Naomi is a furry, and all the furries came after him. So he has since deactivated his Twitter.
You do not want to fight the furries.
There's so many levels to this story.
Really are.
You do not want to
fight. I don't think he's a villain at all in this story. He was trying to be helpful to her to say, hey, you're not being professional, and this reflects poorly on NASA, an agency that he clearly feels a lot for. But I also don't like the fact that he's now trying to get her a better job, because I don't think
that
she deserves that either.
That is odd. But
so,
the topic
like
is
it.
The topic is not whether Bean likes it or not. The topic is you never made it to your first day. You were hired. You had the job.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened in between where you actually didn't start that job.
Okay.
And we have one of those. Dave, the King of Mexico, is in here.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was a production guy by the name of Ed. He worked here for a couple of years and then went off and did his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys gave him a second chance to come back and work here. And on the morning...
He had a little bit of a drinking problem,
if I recall correctly. He had some issues. But the morning he was supposed to come in at 5 a.m.
His first day,
we receive an Afro call, and it says, "Guys, I thank you for the opportunity, but I'm just not going to be able to make it in. Sorry."
On the Afro line.
On the Afro line.
That is a weird place to tender your resignation.
Yeah, not to the producer, not to anybody. Just the Afro line.
And you don't check that every day.
Right.
So.
No, yeah. We just happen to be checking it.
Unbelievable.
That's weird.
And now we have Omar. Thanks.
Right? Yay. Thank God.
So 1-800-520-1067. I don't think we've ever done this topic before. It'll be interesting to hear what we get. But you were hired for a job and never started your first day. Now, as we wait for people to call, what about people who quit that job, Kevin, because they, in the meantime, before they started, after they got hired, they got a better job?
I mean, I think we'll accept those, too, but they're not the funniest ones that we're looking for.
Yeah, those guys are dicks.
We're looking for you made a misstep, and so you didn't even get to day one, because that's funnier.
1-800-520-1067. What say you? Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Just out of Sublime, let's take one call. Let's make it Rudy from Los Angeles. Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? How you doing?
We are good.
We appreciate you calling. The topic today is you got hired, but you did not make it to your first day at the new job. What happened?
Yes, that's correct. A friend of mine hooked me up at a moving company, and I went with him to the job. He told me wait outside in the front because the owner wasn't there yet. So as I was waiting outside, my friend and one of the other workers got into an argument, and then they started a fist fight. So I jumped in on the fight, and another guy jumped in the fight, and it turned into a big brawl. And while we were fighting, the owner pulls up and fires all four of us on the spot.
That's awesome.
Man.
That's awesome.
You didn't even work there yet, and you got fired.
It was over before it started. It was horrible.
That's awesome.
You know what? That story is so much better than getting that job, my friend. Amen. Thank you, Rudy. We appreciate you calling. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls, too, next on K-Rock. Assistant producer Christine, who's helping field these calls on getting fired before your first day of work after you've already been hired, points out that they're all dudes.
I mean, we could have
every one of them. Yeah. This one texting in, it's Dylan from Topanga, 310. My good buddy pulled some strings and got me a job at his dad's car wash. The day before I was supposed to go to training, I got super drunk, and I slept through the training. They called me about 2 hours after I was supposed to be there, and they said, "Don't show up. Yeah. We don't need you."
Slept through the training.
I felt like a real idiot. Well, you'll never recover from not getting that car wash job, dude. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We got some good ones here. How about Ted? Let's go to Ted in Hollywood, please, line 6. I'm sorry. There was a lot to absorb up there on the screen.
Hey, Ted.
Hi. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you. We're talking about you lost your job before the first day you even started.
Yes. All right, so I was hired. I show up a half an hour before my first shift to fill out some paperwork. My boss is just sitting there with me, shooting it, and just randomly asked me, have I ever said anything inappropriate but didn't get in trouble for it? So I said, yeah. Lady online, breastfeeding. I asked her if she wanted her latte with vitamin double D milk.
So you
volunteered this thing that you said to the woman who was hiring you for the job?
Oh, it was a dude interviewing me, but okay. Yeah, I just volunteered it open.
Why? When he said, did you ever say anything inappropriate and not get in trouble for it, why didn't you just say no?
It sounded to me like the guy that was hiring him was just having conversation. Why would he?
I was really proud of that joke. I thought it was really clever.
You wanted credit for that.
The pay is not incredible, so I figured the worst case scenario, I'd get a new job.
So he heard that and said, "I'm sorry, you're not what we're looking for," and he fired you.
Yeah, but he said I was like, he called me some names, asked me if I was autistic.
What?
Oh my God.
I told him to suck both my D's.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
All right. Both of them.
He sounds like you wouldn't have been a good fit at that company anyway. But thank you, Ted. We appreciate you calling.
In any company, really.
Let's try Rick and Tustin, line 7. This one, I hate to peek early here, but this one might be my favorite so far.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how are you?
We are good. Thank you. You were fired before you got to your first day.
Yes. So
I got a job interview on 9/11, the 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I got hired. I went home. I did my stuff. I was working on a paper for school. My ex-Mexican girlfriend came over to my house.
Wait, how come she's not Mexican?
She's no longer a Mexican?
Oh, well, I mean, she's my ex-girlfriend.
Okay, got it.
Got it. So, okay.
But she came to my house, wanted to talk to me, wanted to take me to school. I was working on a paper, and she put a knife to her own head. And
what?
I had to tell her to put the knife down. You're too beautiful, you know? And she put the knife down, ran over, called 911 from my parents' house line, took off to OCC so she could be in class. And the cops came to my door, started asking me questions, didn't let me have another chance, took me to jail, and I didn't get to go to work.
Okay.
So
nothing about this story makes sense.
I feel like there's a lot of pieces missing here.
Yeah, I do too. And I think you should probably still be in jail.
I know it's been a long time. I know it's been 17 years, but I feel like they let you out too soon. Thank you for the call, though.
I mean, she dodged a bullet, right?
Right.
I'd like to rescind that is going to be my favorite, by the way. All right.
You always do that. You always pick the worst.
I certainly do.
Oh, hello.
How about Travis, line 4, up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show? He's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Hey, Travis.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? So I actually got a job at like a commercial decorating place for holiday lights and signs and things. So I got hired with my two friends, but I made the mistake of telling them that I know how to do vinyl work, so I didn't get to work with my two buddies. So when I go through the place, I tell them my last name is Garland, and what do they use at this place all day, every day? Garland.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. There was 20 people all screaming my name, Garland. I'm like, all right, I'm not doing this. I just never showed up. Didn't even show up the next day.
He was so annoyed.
He was name shamed.
Yeah.
He wasn't name shamed. He just had it on himself. Right? They weren't saying Garland to make fun of you. They were just talking about what they were using.
But how annoying is that if you know you're going to hear that every day you go to work, that your last name is Garland and people are going to never forget that. I don't blame you for not wanting to be a part of that.
Hmm.
Yeah, the worst part is I wouldn't even got to, like, smoke weed on the roof with my friends.
Right?
I've been stuck in a building.
That is the worst part. All right.
That is the worst part.
Thank you, Travis.
All right. Do we have time for one more, Kevin?
Sure.
Why don't you pick?
Let's do Billy.
All right.
Hi, Billy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing well. Thank you. You?
I'm doing great. So the job I never got to go to, on Friday, I interviewed at a company that, you know, cold calls people for help overturning their mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me, all right, you're hired. I think they hired everybody that walked in, but you're hired. You'll start on Monday, but we're switching offices, and we'll call you on Sunday night, and we'll tell you the address of where to go on Monday morning.
So, that's not sketchy at all.
That's already way shaky.
Right. So I say, okay, that's fine. Sunday night, I do get the call, but I missed it. My phone wasn't on me. When I try to call the number back, it goes straight to like a generic voicemail type system. The only info on email was info at the company.
Uh-huh.
So I could never find out where to go Monday morning. I had no idea where to go. So I just never showed up. Felt pretty bad about it.
Did it occur to you that maybe it was the whole thing was a scam? Because that's super shaky to say.
This is a company on Mid-Wilshire in Los Angeles, and it's in a weird building. I Google them about a week later. It was probably a week. And find out that the Better Business Bureau had locked down on a couple of companies, and one of them was the company I had interviewed for.
Ah,
so I guess everyone lost their job after that.
Well, you could have gotten severance.
Right.
Yeah,
the only thought I had. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 9.
Jason Crosby from Valencia, we appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and we repay that with a pair of passes to Six Flags Magic Mountain. You can head on over to KROQ.com for another chance to win, or continue listening throughout the day. We've got them for you all week long here on KROQ. Allie's here, time for What's Happening on a Monday.
You guys ever look for a movie on Netflix, you search for it, and then it pops up that it's not streaming, but you can get the DVD of it?
No, I've not seen that.
Oh,
I don't think I've seen that.
That's annoying.
Either.
Oh, yeah.
That's way annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Because who gets DVDs anymore?
That is leading me to my next question, Kevin. Because, first of all, Netflix streaming customers, they can now boast 130 million streaming customers on Netflix. How many of them remain on the DVD-focused arm of Netflix? And did you even know there was one?
I didn't know there was an arm.
Oh, there is. And you get this red envelope from Netflix, and it's a DVD, and then you send it back.
That's still
well, that's
a thing?
That's how we all did Netflix when it started. And do you remember, Allie, at the time that they split those two into separate companies, people were so ticked off that they had to pay, you know, they had to choose which one they wanted to do.
I didn't realize it was just DVDs at the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
It was. It was before. Wow. It was pre-streaming, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how many would you think are remaining subscribers to the original DVD-focused arm of Netflix?
All right, how many were there? I'm sorry.
There's 130 million that now. Stream.
Okay. I am going to say 40 million.
Really?
20 million.
No.
I'm going to say 5 million. I'm going to say a million.
3 million, Kevin. 3
I'd rather you Google it.
Right?
Which I thought was super high.
I did too.
It's not 40 million.
It's not 40 million, but it's 3 million people are still thinking of a movie and then having to wait 3 days until it arrives in the mail.
I don't even have a DVD player.
No. I don't think a lot of people do. But that's by the weird. Way, the remaining 3 million DVD.com subscribers contribute close to $53 million to Netflix profits just during its last quarter. That's insane, right?
Yeah, because they're still paying that subscription fee.
Right.
That's crazy.
And this article says that the Netflix DVD library is incredibly vast and far bigger and more detailed than the streaming library will ever be. So a lot of them tend to be cinephiles. So people looking for more obscure movies that Netflix wouldn't pay to stream. Which apparently are a lot of the movies that I'm looking up. Because I get that damn pop-up that says, you can get the DVD.
I've never gotten that once.
I will tell you that Netflix for me is almost exclusively an original content destination.
Yeah, it seems to
be now. That's
what I
have them for is for all the shows that they make because their movie selection is very, very limited. Mm-hmm. And if I'm just looking for an old movie, if I'm in the mood for an old movie and it's not on demand through DirecTV, I'll usually just go to Amazon and see if they have it.
Yeah.
Or to stream it that way.
Interesting piece, though, that this guy wrote about, because he's concerned, because he uses this quite a bit. But he also looked up the numbers that Netflix was continuing to hemorrhage with just this DVD arm. And he said the service would be down to under 2 million by the end of 2019 and possibly entirely out of customers by 2022. Mm-hmm. So you've got to wonder, is it cinephiles or old people? Or both?
I'd give up... any of the big four broadcast channels before I'd give up my Netflix for reals.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, a lot of people are cord cutting anyway, you know.
Yeah, sure.
For those. Because, you know, if I don't have NBC anymore, all the NBC shows are on Hulu anyway. So
as long as you have Hulu, you're pretty good.
Yeah. My neighbor recently got, he cord cutted. And got this weird thing that you put up in your window, and it gives you just whatever the local channels are.
Yeah, it's called an antenna.
Antenna?
Oh.
For just over the air.
But it's not it doesn't look like rabbit ears. It's like a thing you put in the window.
Right, because it's the 21st century.
Oh my God, I didn't even
realize I would assume that's what it was. I've never seen one like that.
Oh my God!
But antenna. I can't imagine it's anything else.
That's all it is. Yeah, it's flat.
Yes,
it's an antenna. What is wrong with you?
Back in the day, Allie, there used to be things called antennas.
I remember seeing pictures of those, like the silver things that come up like rabbit ears.
You are adorable.
Holy crap. This isn't live, right?
Yeah, we're on.
I have,
even with all the streaming options and DirecTV, I also have a TV antenna because there is a local channel in New Orleans that is not on DirecTV that I like. It's the Me TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans, it's not on DirecTV.
And you got an antenna just for that channel?
$20. $20 for the antenna.
So $20 for one channel.
Yeah, but I mean, not $20 a month or anything. Like, just $20 to buy the antenna for all time. And that way, all I have to do is flip my TV to TV and I can watch the Me Too channel.
When was the last time you watched it?
2 days ago.
Huh. Well, that didn't work out.
What kind of shows are on MeTV?
You know, it's like Andy Griffith and Hawaii Five-0.
Not for me.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
But I love Mary Tyler Moore Show. I love those shows.
Is that the channel that has What's Happening?
I don't think What's Happening is on there.
Oh, no. I think that's TV Land. I don't know what I'd do without that.
But anyway, I think
again,
this is a lot
not live, right?
There's a lot of talk about TV channels that people don't care about.
Guys.
But Allie didn't know what a TV antenna was.
I know what an antenna is. I just didn't think they made them so cool that you can put in your window. It just looks like a big disc.
Why did he hide that TV antenna, Kevin, in a closet somewhere where people couldn't see it? Why did he put it somewhere near a window where he could get a signal for his television?
That's spectacular.
I have never felt dumber.
That's really good.
Ever.
And there's a lot of competition
today. Stay on target.
Really is. Good God. Oof. Well, if you're wondering about Aretha Franklin's funeral, who's going to talk there? President Bill Clinton, music legend Smokey Robinson, Reverend Jesse Jackson, music mogul Clive Davis, actress Cicely Tyson. Those are just some of the speakers at Aretha Franklin's funeral next week. But performing, quite a list. Stevie Wonder, Faith Hill, Jennifer Hudson, Fantasia, Yolanda Adams, Chaka Khan. I mean, it's going to be quite the funeral.
Yeah.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I think it's
E-C-T. He'll be there as well, Reverend Al Sharpton.
Hopefully
he gets that spelling under control.
Matt writes in from the 562. Allie, you remember how disappointed your dad was when you didn't understand how checking works? That's how disappointed everyone is with you right now.
Honestly. I literally thought, why in your window? What are you doing? But he gets local channels off of it, you guys.
That's how an antenna works.
Asshole. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I apologize. There's someone out there that didn't know, right?
Nope.
Give us a call. 1-800.
Nope, we're not taking calls. We're not taking calls on that.
Now, Dave is not the most ashamed person on the program today.
Oh my God.
Although I would assume there are a bunch of people who were with Allie who didn't realize that it had been upgraded to that or whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was trying just to make those you feel silver good here. Lines that look...
Trying to help you here.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to move on. Some birthdays for you. Tony Cannell, Sarah Chalk, Aaron Paul, Caesar Milan, Kevin. Kevin does that to me when I'm telling a story.
When it's necessary.
You could have helped earlier. And happy birthday to Pee-wee Herman himself, Paul.
I know who you are, but what am I?
Paul Rubens. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
What's that thing called? You put it in a window if you're trying to get over-the-air channels on your TV. It's a really weird device. What's it called?
It's an antenna.
An antenna!
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Couldn't think of it. Hadn't heard of it before. I'm new to broadcasting.
It's hurtful.
I just want to go back and replay last hour's What's Happening. Allie learned what an antenna is.
Same. I know what an antenna is. It's the silver things that people call them rabbit ears. Now all of a sudden
that's the 1970s antennas.
Well, that's all I know.
Those are analog antennas. This is a digital antenna that your neighbor has.
Well...
It's not new.
It's new to me.
It's been around a long time.
It is new to you. That's true.
I literally thought it was like a subscription service that he had in his window. Literally.
All right. Well, we're going to give you a chance to put the shame of that behind you, Allie, and move on with an all-new What's Happening. What's going on?
Well, I, first of all, would like to talk to our music coordinator here at K-Rock, Jessica, because she was one of the very lucky to see, just a little band called the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
What? In the parking lot of the Palladium yesterday,
what?
Under the name, of course, the Holy S's.
I thought they could play a bigger venue than that by now.
They
Aren't
should
they
be
popular?
Able to.
Yeah. Turns out they can.
Yeah. Jessica, what happened yesterday?
Hi, Allie. Oh, my God. It was amazing. Like, I feel like I'm dead.
You feel like you're dead?
I feel like I'm dead. Dave Grohl murdered me with... his songs.
So it was supposed to be a Cal Jam pop-up. A lot of people were going there because they had released new tickets. You could go and buy them there. But also, Chevy Metal was going to be playing, as well as this band, the Holy S's, that a lot of people knew was the Foo Fighters, but I don't think enough people knew.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
Yeah, there were only like a couple hundred people there, and Chevy Metal, Taylor Hawkins' cover band, was on. And one by one, he was like, oh, look at that. Chris Shiflett is here. Let's bring him on stage. Oh, hey, Pat Smear. And then within minutes, like, you were just watching Foo Fighters.
That's
unbelievable.
Awesome.
It's very cool.
And there were only a couple of hundred people there.
Yeah, and it was in the parking lot, and they did all deep cuts like Gimme Stitches and Hey Johnny Park, and then they close with Everlong. I feel like, oh, just talking about it, I can't even take it. I can't even take it.
Yeah, they did Watershed, Gimme Stitches, Weenie Beanie, Low, Hey Johnny Park, like deep, deep cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of, I love Chevy Metal, by the way. I love Taylor's band. What kind of stuff was he doing? Is it still like Thin Lizzy and Blue Oyster Cult and all the greats?
Yeah, he actually brought out Roger Taylor, and they did Under Pressure.
Oh, the Queen Roger Taylor, not the Duran Duran Roger Taylor.
Oh, Jesus, Bean.
Well, there's two famous musicians named Roger Taylor. Just clarification,
oh,
Jessica.
Jesus, Bean.
Yes, so the one from Queen. Under Pressure.
Okay, so they just kind of sprung this on people on social media that that said, "Hey, this is going down at the Palladium. Get there now!" And then the next thing you know, it was on and gone, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You show up for a cover band and you end up with Foo Fighters.
I was so bummed. I saw all of that later.
Right.
I was like, oh. Yeah. No heads up,
way
Jessica?
To be on top of it, Kevin.
Come on now.
Wow. She's bringing it for both of us. I feel like Jessica used to work on this show and left with a lot of resentment.
She was an intern, yes. And now she's music coordinator. Yeah.
I'm still a little traumatized.
Yeah, it sounds like she never forgave us. Yeah. All right, well, thank you for jumping on and letting us know. I'm glad you had a good time, Jessica. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye now. Okay, bye-bye. Wow, that was scalding, you guys.
I liked
it. We're just trying to have fun.
She's awesome.
I liked it a lot.
Me too.
Good stuff. Well, that's your update. And, of course, Cal Jam happening October 6th in San Bernardino, California at Glen Helen Park and Festival Grounds. Lineup including not only Foo Fighters, but Iggy Pop, Garbage, Tenacious D, Silver Sun Pickups, Greta Van Fleet, Manchester Orchestra.
Wow.
That's a show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I mean, they aren't joking around with that. Well, this is very interesting. Remember when we found out that the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences were going to be adding that Best Popular Film category to the Oscars?
Yes.
Yeah, in 2019. That seemed to be most people's reaction. Film purists were in a complete tizzy. Very upset. Well,
but the truth is, if a movie is popular, it almost, there are exceptions, but it almost never gets nominated.
It seems that way.
And that's
for
bizarre.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Black Panther, a box office and critical success, seemed primed to win that category. But Marvel apparently wants no part of it. So for the first time ever, the studio has hired a veteran Oscar strategist to lead Black Panther's campaign for Best Picture.
Good.
And they're giving the film a significant award season budget.
All right,
so,
good.
So, all right, yeah.
Has there ever been a superhero movie that won an Oscar?
No.
Never has.
There's never even been a superhero movie that's been nominated for any of the major
this
categories.
Certainly should.
Yeah.
Because Black Panther was truly great.
It was great. And a lot of people could argue it was the best movie of the year. But let me just say what's going to happen because of this stupid new Academy policy is that people who might have considered voting for Black Panther for Best Picture will now say, you know what? I can vote for it for Best Popular Picture. That way it wins a big award. And then I can vote for this other movie over here for Best Picture.
Do you think it's still going to hurt?
Absolutely.
This type of movie. But again,
it's the kids' table.
Yeah.
It
is.
Sad.
Yeah,
it's sad, guys. Speaking of sad, butthole eyes, right? Who's with me? You have butthole eyes?
I am not with you.
Yeah, I didn't know what this was until Barstool Sports posted an article saying that Pete Davidson has butthole eyes. They then explain what butthole eyes are. The area around your b-hole tends to be a little discolored, a little thinner. And they're saying that Pete Davidson, he has, you know, the dark circles under his eyes, thin underneath.
Right.
Hence, Pete Davidson has butthole eyes.
Mm, nice.
Well, that did not sit well with Pete Davidson's fiance, who said, y'all do know this man has an autoimmune disease, right? Like, you do understand what you're doing when you do this, right? Just want to make sure. So she was alerting Barstool Sports to the fact that he has Crohn's disease. So maybe don't make fun of his appearance. Well, then that opened up everybody who apparently is a doctor that follows Barstool Sports to then say, that's not what butthole eyes are caused from. It's from dehydration. It's all these different things. So it just kept going back and forth, back and forth. All I know now is I always thought it was just a dark circles. Now I know to call that look butthole eyes.
Mm-hmm. Is that good?
I think we've learned something today.
By the way, if the Crohn's disease does not have anything to do with the butthole eyes, it really was a fail on Ariana, who was trying to you know, stick up for her man.
Well,
Ariana Grande?
It also Ariana. Just shows
I'm not going to say her last name anymore. I don't want to wave you about. I'm just going to call her Ariana.
It shows that she's, you know, ready to go to bat for her dude.
Sure. Yeah, she's trying.
And trust me, those Barstool Sports people. It's like when the furries come after you.
Oh, yeah.
You do not want it.
You don't want that.
Those
okay.
Barstool Sports people are, they're a lot.
Yeah.
But then you've got the Ariana Grenaders. What are they called? Her fans?
The Grandies?
Nope. Kevin?
I don't know.
I'm just saying. It's a lot. It's a lot back and forth.
Yeah.
Butthole eyes, though. That's now a thing.
That's the takeaway.
And let's just remember that.
I want to give a correction to our conversation about the comic book movies. A frequent Kevin Bean contributor and listener, Vic, writes in to remind us that there were nominations around Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight.
Okay,
of course.
Good.
Heath Ledger, remember, got nominated for an acting
role. Right.
Role.
Okay, good.
And that, I think, may have even been nominated for Best Picture that year, which was certainly a rarity. So, thank you, Vic.
We've been wrong a lot today.
We have been,
like,
yeah.
Like, more so than usual.
I mean, really,
still,
though? More than usual?
Yeah, probably not. See, I was even wrong about that. Some birthdays for you. It's by far my favorite of all of Kevin's impressions. Cesar Millan. Nice. Aaron Paul. Well, no, it's not my favorite because I still love Alf. Go ahead.
Nope.
Yep. Go
That's
ahead.
It's not his birthday.
Just do
Keep
it.
Keep going.
Just do it.
No problem.
Aaron Paul, Sarah Chalk, Tony Kanal, and Paul Rubens.
I'm trying to use the phone.
And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, to SoCal Helpful Honda Dealer. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Your parents are paying for something that you're not doing.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk to you on the show tomorrow. We also have animal stories tomorrow. The world's worst bride.
Oh, she's awful.
Oh, put her down.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Petros Papadakis talks USC and UCLA football. And we've got more tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain tomorrow.